So, brethren, after reviewing that, Ephesians 1, you know, it doesn't get any better than that for us personally, does it? It really doesn't. It is something that is so great and is so powerful that it really is hard. It's hard for us to understand how great this truly is. So, let's go on a little bit. You know, he did all of this for us. All of us in the first fruits and the whole world. He has given us all things. He has sealed us. He's made us joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What a marvelous, marvelous thing to have. He gave us this hope of the resurrection and the very kingdom of God. That is what he has given us. That's our hope, and that's our confidence. What greater thing could we ever possess in our life than that? But, brethren, we have to also look at the other side. What have we lived under all of this time? All of our years, some of us are in our 80s, some of us are in our 20s. And fortunately, some of us are in our 50s. But that's a personal matter. What have we lived under all this time? What has he brought us out? He just told us what he was going to do with us. We see this happening within our lives. We see this happening within the church. But what have we really, truly lived under? Well, let's look. Because he tells us. You know, it's all in there. Everything is in there, brethren. Let's turn over to Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2. Need to check something on our little recorder here. Well, I better leave it that way. I certainly hope the other recorder is recording this, because I have this not right. Maybe I better just change this. Well, we'll have to work with that. We'll do our editing at home, I guess. We have two recorders going right now. We're trying out something. So certainly I hope the other new recorder is recording properly. So we have one good master on this. We're also videotaping this today because we need to start to videotape for our churches when we get into the church. We have churches around the country right now, and I would prefer to send them videotapes for the church service rather than just the audio tapes that we send out to home. So, what have we lived under all of this time? This is something that we have to look at. And God describes it very well in Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, starting in verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. So he became just as we are, 100% human. That through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. And that, of course, is what he did. He destroyed that, and upon that resurrection, he destroyed that hold that Satan had over all mankind, and that death. And Satan is that death. Now look at this is what we lived under. Verse 15. And deliver them who through fear of death, he delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Brethren, that's what we were under. And without the true knowledge of God, that's what other people are still under. Satan is that death. But we have victory over that death through Jesus Christ. It's not just a little saying or a cute little Protestant phrase. It is the truth. We do have that victory over death. All their lifetimes, all of your lifetime, has been spent under this bondage of death. Now, don't write in for this. You'll get it when I do this. But I'm going to give a sermon about this bondage of death and what you have lived under. And everything in your life, everything that you have done, was to try to avoid or cover up this death. It really has been that way in our lives, brethren. We really have been under this bondage. You should not have to worry about dying or anyone you know dying. Never. Should never even cross your mind in God's world. The way He originally created man to be, which we will be again. Of course, we'll be first fruits and we'll be spirit beings, but the human beings that will be here in the great harvest will live forever. Never once will the thought of death ever come across their mind. They won't age. They'll be youthful. Can you imagine waking up every morning with excitement and joy, enthusiasm, strength to go out there and live that next day? Well, that would be something different, wouldn't it? And that's what's coming. You'd actually eat the proper things. You'd actually get some benefit out of the food that you eat, not like we do today. I'll be giving a sermon on that. Put that into perspective for everyone. And it's incredible. There's so many areas, there's so many things you do daily in your life. And it's avoiding death. Because you are a dying creature, aren't you? You are dying. And everything you do in your life is trying to cover that up and trying to run from it. Everything. Everything you eat, everything you think, everything you do. That is the bondage that we have come out of. Now our bodies are still going to die. But this isn't. That spirit that is within us, and what makes you who you are, is going to live forever. This world has no confidence. There's absolutely no confidence. How can it? It only has maybe something will happen. I hope something will happen. I hope against all odds that something could happen. I wish it's going to be that way. Well, it could be or maybe. That's what this world has. And that's why it's in bondage. Because Satan's running it. Look what God has done for you. And look what God has done for your mind, and your understanding, and your life. Look what He's done for that. Now what did He bring us out of? Let's go back to Ephesians. We'll go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Because He goes on with something here. And we're taking the time to read through this. And if we don't get much further than this, then that's fine. We're going to have a third sermon in this series anyway. So, you bought in with the pound, you're in for the penny. You bought in with a penny, you're in for the pound, however that goes. You buy the premise, you have to buy the joke, all of the other things. So let's continue on. We have the time right now to take the time to go through and to lay down some of these things that are going to help people, the thousands and thousands of people who are going to be coming into this understanding. So we want to do that, and that's what God's been allowing us to do. So let's go here to Ephesians 2. And let's look at this. Starting in verse 1. He says, "And you hath he quickened," see, with that spirit, "who were dead." You were dead in trespasses and sins. Man, you were as dead as that skunk alongside the road that had been run over about 50 times by Mack trucks in the heat of the day. Now, you've got the picture there. If you don't see them, you always smell them, don't you? You always smell the skunk when you go by. You may not see him dead, but he's dead. Now, that's where you were in God's sight. You who were dead in trespasses and sins. See, without Christ, that was it. It was over. You're going to die forever. Yeah, you're going to work out something on your own? You're going to con God? It's the old con game. Well, if I talk to him nice in prayers, if I do cute little things, maybe he'll let me slip in. No, he's not going to let you slip in. You come by his authority or you don't. He wrote your name down in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, before the foundation. Or it's not there, at least as a first fruit. Everyone else is written in that regular book of life, and they will all be there as well. But he does it, we don't. Here he tells us, we were dead. We're dead in these sins. That's our great legacy. Wherein, verse 2, wherein, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world. That's what you and I did. We were just dumbly walking along in Satan's bondage like everyone else, completely in sin, and we couldn't care less. We couldn't have cared less. In fact, we enjoyed it. That was where you... I don't see any flesh glorying here. It says, in times past, you walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air. That's how you lived your life and my life. By the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. That's our legacy. That's our heritage that we came out of. Who brought you to this knowledge? God's Holy Spirit, that's what. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. That's what we were, brethren. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That's where we were. And were by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. I didn't have time to look up the word nature. But we already know what this is, and it's Satan's nature, isn't it? And it's that computer chip, isn't it? Going right back to the Garden of Eden. If any of you are hearing this and have not heard those series of tapes on the album called The Garden of Eden, please send in for those. Because you need to know what really happened in the Garden of Eden. You need to know the first lie that was told. You need to know the lie that all mankind has been based on, and this counterfeit of Satan's been based on. You have to understand that Satan put a computer chip in you and a program in you, and that he controls you, and he makes you and causes you to sin. And that's what we see in everyone in the world. And unfortunately, when we look into the mirror, we see it again, don't we? But hopefully, we're first fruits, and hopefully, we are covered by the blood of Christ, which makes us holy and pure in front of God. It's the only way out of this. It's the only confidence we can have is that. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. So as we were in all of that, God was loving us with great love, even when we were dead in sins. We were dead. We were eternally dead in sins. Hath quickened us, took our name, brought us along, gave us, sealed us, as we just read in the chapter before, his with his Spirit, quickened us together with Christ, his Son. By grace, you are saved. It is, brethren, by grace we are saved. Once saved, always saved? Yes. Once saved, always saved, as the world preaches with lasciviousness and breaking of God's law, and doing whatever you want. Oh, I'm saved now. I can do anything I want. No. That's stupidity. That's ignorance. That's dumb. Oh, wait a minute. Who's the author of dumb? Let's just think about this. Who's the author of stupidity, dumb, and ignorant? Oh, that's right. It's Satan. Satan's the author of all of that. And that's why all that thinking is dumb and stupid. Because it comes from Satan. It's all a lie. He's the father of all these lies. Got to think about this. Have to reason about that once in a while. See where that's coming from. Put in perspective. He saved us by that grace. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Our brother's already there. And when we read this verse in the great last day, it'll already be a fulfillment, won't it? Because we will have been sitting in heavenly places with Christ. Right now, that's our hope. That's our confidence. Because he's there, we will be there. He said he went away. Where is that? In John 14, where he says he goes away to prepare a place for us. There's many mansions, many staying residences. And he says he's coming back to get us, to take us there. He's not making empty condominiums, you know. They all have your names on them. Many mansions. He's preparing it for us. We will be with him. And why, of course, why does he do these things? Why does he do it? Verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. You know, everyone in the great last day, all those human beings, those billions and billions of people are going to come up and they're going to read this book right here, This is it. This is the law. This is the manual for life. This is the history of our Father, Jesus Christ, and His church, and all of us. And they're going to read this. And right now, when you read this, and says that in ages to come, He might show. This is all for that. That in ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. See, we don't see those riches. We don't see those kindness. We don't see that grace. We're living this right now. They are all going to read this and see the very glory of God, the glory of His kingdom, the glory of the 144,000, the glory of Jesus Christ, the absolute power and glory and praise of the Father. And when they read this, they're going to say, oh yeah, oh, the exceeding riches of our Father. And they're going to know it. They're going to know that. We can't just read over these verses. This is what our hope and confidence is. I'm trying to draw a picture here. And look at this in verse 8. For by grace. Some of my works. I know He's going to look at some of my... No. For by grace you are saved. Are you saved? Through faith. What's faith? It's the Spirit of God. It's the power of God. Not by some little dweeby little person, human being, thinking, well, I kind of believe in that. No. Comes with the hope and confidence. Comes by that Spirit. For by grace are you saved through faith, which is given by the Holy Spirit. And that not of yourselves. Oh, you know, we ought to cut this thing right out of the Bible. It just doesn't go along with our plan, does it? Well, no, it doesn't go along with our plan, but it certainly goes along with the Father's plan. And that's the only plan we care about. And that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. Thank God that it is. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know the other scriptures, that flesh will not glory in front of Him. If you think you can glory, then are you converted? If you think you can make it on your own, have to it. But just cut God out of it and then try to do it on your own. Because you can't. He does it all. Everyone who is hearing my voice today is continuing in sin. I want to see the man or woman who can stand in front of me, and I'm just a man, stand in front of me and tell me that you don't sin anymore physically or mentally, but prepared for a great big belly laugh coming your way. Or I'll put up a lightning rod because a big bolt of lightning is going to come down from God. Do you have the guts to say that? No, you don't. Because you can't. So are you doing it? No. God is doing it in spite of you and me. God has sealed us and made us white, pure, clean, sinless in front of Him at all times. He never sees your sin once you have been sealed. You can go to Him at any time and cry out to Him. And He just sees His child And he says, what can I do for you? How can I help you? Because the blood of Jesus Christ has already covered you, and he sees no more. You are sinless in front of God, but it's because of what God did through his Son that covered you, not because of anything we have ever done. And we really have to get that through our head. That's our confidence. That's our hope. And if God hasn't sealed us, and we don't have God's Holy Spirit within us, well, we'll be there in the great harvest, and that'll be wonderful too. That's God's good pleasure. But if you're a first fruit, you better never have any thought of self. Never. How would you like to be the father looking down at one of your children and hear the children keep saying, yeah, I know that you own everything and you have everything, but you know what? I'm pretty good. You know, I'm going to bring something to this kingdom deal. I'm going to bring some nice things to your personality too. And you know, Father, maybe you can even learn from me. Because after all, look at what I'm doing here. I'm such a wonderful person. Get the lightning rod out again, because that doesn't work, does it? You're going to learn from your Father forever. He has so much knowledge, understanding, and wisdom that no matter if it's 20 billion quadzillion years, I don't know the infinity, way out there, you will never get to the depths of his understanding and his love. Never. How could you worship anyone who you could ever obtain the same level to? You couldn't. That's why we love him. That's why we worship him. Because his love goes on forever, and it just keeps growing. And it'll keep getting better and better and better all the way through God's kingdom. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we, in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, you decided you're going to walk in something? No, the Holy Father. And there is a Holy Father. He just doesn't happen to live on earth, and he doesn't happen to reside in Rome. We have a Holy Father in heaven. That is his name. He is the one who ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that you, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, and we all were, who are called uncircumcision, uncircumcised by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands. Paul is explaining here, he says, all these Jews who were made physically circumcised by hands in the flesh, we're calling all of these people, of course, who Paul was going to, all the uncircumcision, all the uncircumcised, the Gentiles, and they're calling you uncircumcised, yeah. And here they stood, and the only way they were circumcised was by hands, physically. That doesn't cut it. Now God says that should be done back in Israel and all of that, and it'll be done in the future. If anyone's a first fruit and not circumcised, please don't think you have to run out and get circumcised. If you want to, go ahead, but it's not necessary in God's, you know, you are circumcised of the heart. That's more important. And that's what Paul is trying to get across. I'll tell you something. It's very important that everyone, if they have not heard this, write in for our series and the album on circumcision and cycles. Circumcision. What does that mean? What does it really portray? And what about these cycles? The cycles that the women have. Why did God make that? What does that show? What is that all about? So I know all the women will write in. And hopefully all you men will write in too. Because you need to know this. I had calls from all over the country on this one. And they all called and they all said, hey, we didn't know anything about circumcision, did we? And we didn't know anything about the other subject. That's right, we didn't. Because we didn't look through God's eyes. We couldn't. But now we can. So write in for that. That's at, just write the Church Outreach Program, P.O. Box 6111, Elgin, Illinois, 60121. And we'll be more than happy to send that out to you. Because that is going to give you an overview of how God looks at this world, and what this creation is all about. And so if you've gotten some of already the basic things that we have, you really need to get that. So going on here to verse 12, Ephesians 2. See, with all of this going on, then he comes in here with a, boom, powerful statement again. He says, that at that time you were without Christ. You were uncircumcised. We all were. We were without Christ. We were being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. That commonwealth of Israel, spiritually speaking, is the first fruits, is God's church. This is what he's brought together. We are spiritual Israel. And strangers from the covenants of promise. Didn't know anything about it. Didn't have the hope. Didn't have the confidence. Having no hope. Having no hope. And without God in this world. That is where you and I were. That is what he has brought us in from. We had no hope. Don't tell me, oh, well, I had a little hope. I kind of knew a little bit. You know, I was kind of studying. No, you weren't. Your studying was garbage, just like our studying was garbage. You didn't know anything until the Spirit of God opened up your mind. Then and then only did you start to see God. You didn't keep looking around and choosing and going from one religion to another. And then finally, you finally found God. That's not the way it worked. You're just blindly running around out there. And if the Father had not opened up your mind, you'd still be there. That's the way it is. And that's what the truth of the matter is. You had no hope. And we were without God in this world. I don't care how religious you think you were before. It was a bunch of filthy rags in front of God. It was filled with all kinds of counterfeit. And it was garbage. It really was. You know, Mr. Armstrong, of course, any of us who were first fruits coming along with Mr. Armstrong and learning the first part of the Philadelphian era, learning those very foundational things of the law and the Sabbath and the holy days and all those things. That was wonderful and that was good. And we did see the difference. But boy, we were babes and we were just receiving milk. All of that is milk. There's other sermons that anyone listening to this or seeing this, you'll be getting. And you'll know that we only received milk back then. But we had to get that. We were babies and we were growing. But now we're adults. Now God has given us milk and meat. We have something to chew on. We were all out there without God in this world, and we know Satan is the god of this world with all the principalities and powers that he does out there. You know, we really have to understand that. That's where we were. You know, we didn't deserve something for anything that we did. You know, All we deserved was death. And we were under that bondage of death. And that's what that was all about. You know, God pulled us out of that bondage. And He saved us by that grace and that gift of God. That's what He did. Going on here in 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Yeah, we're made near by the very blood of Jesus Christ. For He is our peace. He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall, the partition between us. And the Father has been revealed to us through Jesus Christ. There is no more wall. There is no more veil there. And He is our peace. Brethren, that's what we have on all of our literature. At the bottom, you'll see it. It says, the true gospel of peace. That's what this is all about. Oh yeah, the kingdom's part of it. But this is the plan of salvation. And the plan of salvation has to work itself out. And then we have the kingdom of God. And that's all part of that. But God and Jesus Christ came to this earth preaching peace. And we're learning what that peace is now more and more. It says, having abolished in His flesh, this is in Christ's flesh, the enmity, the hatred, even the law of commandments and the ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. That penalty of death was taken away. So you didn't keep the Sabbath day holy. You're going to die forever. But with the blood, even if you slip up, you're going to be there forever. And in verse 16, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross or by the stake, having slain the enmity therein, that hatred. And it says in your margin, it says, in Himself. He had that computer chip in Himself as well. He was 100% human. And He was 100% flesh. And He only received that Spirit at baptism. That's when He received God's Holy Spirit. And to say that He did not have that in Him, and to say that He was anything but 100% flesh, is preaching Antichrist. It really is. And He wasn't. He was Christ. And He was like all of us. And by that death, He got rid of that thing. And came and preached peace. He preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. That's where He has brought us. That's where our hope, that's where our confidence is. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets and Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Pardon me. This is what He has done for all of us. He did it. He brought us together. He did it, not us. In verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now the Father dwells with each one of us. and he is in there, and he is the one that is doing it. Not us. He is. You can remember some of those scriptures about us being the temple of God and the pillars in the temple of God. And he's going to dwell within forever. It's fantastic what we have, brethren. Brethren, you talk about confidence and absolute faith from what we read today. That is what we have. Really knowing this, you can only have confidence and you can only have hope. And that is what this is all about. And that's what we've been going through the last couple of weeks. I don't want to go any further. I'm just about out of time. Next week we'll conclude this. We'll look into Christ's life a little bit and see what confidence he had and why he had that confidence. And what truly is your hope? This hope of the resurrection. This hope of the very family of God. That hope and confidence of the sealing of Jesus Christ within us and being part of that 144,000. Brethren, it is a marvelous, marvelous plan and a marvelous hope that he has given us and a marvelous confidence that we all have. And I hope that we all get on our knees and we all thank God by our heart that he has called us into this and opened up our minds that we could understand this glorious plan, the riches of his glory and of his things. So brethren, again, pray for everyone. Satan is out there. He absolutely hates us. He hates this work. He hates this church. He hates me. And he hates all of you. So let's all pray for one another that God's protection is with us, that we know that we will accomplish his end because it's to his glory and is his work. We're just here. He makes the decisions. He inspires us to what to do. But remember to pray for one another all over the world, all of God's brethren, so that we can come to that glory and we can live that in his life. In our life, and we can be a glory to what he is doing with us. So, until next week, we'll say goodbye then.